Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'll just turn my microphone on to make it even better. Nice to see so many people on this GMT, is it right? GMT day. Well done. Good. Can you hear me okay? Super. Well, the notices, they're on the sheet. And the news bit is, we've got a card machine, as you know, at the back. And I think you can be told how it will work. Wickham Homeless Connection, big sleep out at Adams Park on Saturday the 26th of November. Shoeboxes will be collected on Sunday the 6th of November. That's next Sunday. Toys, toy dolls, stuffed animal, toy, figure puppet, slinky, skipping rope, play dough, plastic cutters, music, all of those things there. I don't know what that includes. Is that for the shoeboxes?
Yes.
Yes, good, excellent. You know all about those then. We have our annual memorial service at Holy Trinity on the 6th of November at 3 p.m. for those who want to join us. Quiz night, Saturday the 12th of November at St Margaret's, £10 per person. Right, seven for 7:30 start. Bring your own drinks and ring the office to book your place. I think that's more or less all, isn't it? Apart from the craft fair, the Village Hall, 2:30 to 4:30 on the 5th of November. An appropriate day, is it? Good, excellent. So let us say our first, just a thing that I believe that Graham is doing very well and hopes to be back with us soon. Actually, he thinks he's going to be sooner than he will be, I think, because it's not an easy operation. Okay, a prayer for our interregnum. It's on your sheets. We say together, Gracious God, you are with us always. We thank you for guiding us by your Spirit through our life together as church. We pray that we may hear your voice in this time of interregnum. Grant us patience. Grant us wisdom and grant us courage as we seek a new priest for our two churches. And by your grace, lead us to be a more Christ-like church, a church that is contemplative, compassionate and courageous. Because we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, thank you. Right. So we take our sheets. Grace, mercy, and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. And now we sing our first hymn. Come down, O love divine, number 1202. Please be seated. And now we come to our confession. Are we perfect?
No.
No. We need to ask God for forgiveness, all of us, don't we? Good. Before God, with the people of God, I confess my brokenness to the ways I wound my life, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
May God forgive you, Christ renew you, and the Spirit enable you to grow in love. Before God, with the people of God, we confess our brokenness to the ways we wound our lives, the lives of others, and the life of the world.
So may God forgive us all, Christ renew us, and the Spirit enable us to grow in love. We are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? We are forgiven. The Collect. God, our light and salvation, illuminate our lives that we may see your goodness in the land of the living, and looking on your beauty, may we be changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now have the readings from Jean and Marie.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. This is the word of the Lord.
The New Testament reading taken this morning is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving and prayer. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecution and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
John Newton was the captain of a slave ship, and apparently he didn't think much of God anyway. But during the time he was a captain, he discovered that the slaves were in a desperate state, and he began to wonder whether it was right or wrong. In the end, he decided it was wrong, so became a member of the group that was trying to abolish the slave trade. And then he decided he would become a vicar. And this is his, this song is his, an account almost of his conversion. Amazing Grace. So we'll sing that now. Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, number 19.
Thank you.
Please be seated. A reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, beginning to read at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I wonder, how would I like it if someone cheated me? Not once, but repeatedly. And then I picked up a newspaper and saw that one of the town fathers had hosted a dinner in this cheater's honour. I probably wouldn't like it very much. In fact, I would be furious. These days, so many scoundrels get rich and famous, and sometimes it seems as if there's no justice. Something like that happened in our gospel lesson today. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, a chief tax collector. Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was rich. A chief tax collector would have ordinary tax collectors working for him. And each of them would give the chief tax collector a cut of their collections. Tax collectors usually did very well for themselves, financially speaking. Of course, they didn't have many friends, but that went with the territory. By the time of our story, Jesus had become a celebrity, a young and upcoming rabbi known for his teachings and his miracles. Wherever he went, people flocked to see him. Jesus had come to Jericho, not far from Jerusalem. He was just passing through. So people came from hither and thither to see him before he left town. Zacchaeus, the rich tax collector, was one of them. We should be surprised that Zacchaeus came to see Jesus. People who do dark things don't usually come into the light. Crooks don't usually come to preachers or to anyone else who might point an accusing finger. But Zacchaeus did come to see Jesus. Perhaps there was something in his heart that wanted a new kind of life. Maybe he was just curious. But when Zacchaeus came to the street where Jesus would be passing, he couldn't see a thing. Crowds of people arrived early, and you can be sure that no one's going to step aside to let Zacchaeus see. The problem was compounded by the fact that Jesus was challenged physically. He was short. Most of us know how it feels to have our view blocked by a tall person, or someone wearing a hat, or someone standing where they should be sitting. But Zacchaeus was a resourceful fellow, a man who knew how to solve problems. His solution was to climb a tree where he would have an unobstructed view, where he could easily see as Jesus came down the street. That can't have been easy for Zacchaeus. People might not like him, but they knew him as a man of authority. Zacchaeus had to be careful. If he appeared ridiculous, people might begin to laugh at him instead of fearing him. Then where would he be? But Zacchaeus really wanted to see this young celebratory rabbi, so he took a chance on climbing the tree. If he got lucky, people would be so focused on seeing Jesus that they wouldn't notice the important tax collector climbing a tree. But no such luck. When Jesus came along, he spotted Zacchaeus sitting in the tree and blew Zacchaeus' cover. "Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree, because I must stay at your house today." Let's pay attention to what Jesus said. First of all, he said, "I must." Jesus says, "I must," 4 times in the Gospel of Luke and once more in the Gospel of John. In each instance, he says, "I must," in such a way as to mean, "I have this mission," or "I have this God-given duty." And Jesus said, "I must stay at your house." The Greek word for stay is meno, which is usually transferred as abide, or dwell, or remain. It suggests something more than a casual visit. It has the ring of permanence. When Jesus says that he must stay at Zacchaeus' house, it sounds as if he intends to live there. But of course, Jesus doesn't intend to stay at Zacchaeus' house permanently. In fact, before the day is out, Jesus will leave Jericho to go to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem to die. But in another sense, Jesus does intend to stay at Zacchaeus' home permanently. He intends to dwell forevermore in Zacchaeus' heart. And that happened because Zacchaeus came down from the tree. Luke tells us it came down quickly. If you've ever climbed a tree, you know that you don't usually come down quickly, unless you fall. Zacchaeus came down from the tree quickly, and he welcomed Jesus joyfully. The young rabbi was honoring Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was grateful. The people, on the other hand, were offended. They complained that the young rabbi had chosen to stay with a sinful man, and had chosen to honour an undeserving man. Perhaps we know exactly how they felt. We've seen undeserving people elevated to high office. We've heard, "Hail the Chief," played for people whose moral bankruptcy is public knowledge. We long for good leadership, for a chance to honour deserving people. But when Jesus called him down out of that tree, two things happened immediately. Firstly, Zacchaeus showed that he'd got it, that he knew that he needed to change, that he intended to do it. He promised Jesus he would give half of his money to the poor and would repay fourfold anyone whom he had defrauded. Secondly, Jesus validated Zacchaeus' promise, saying, "Today salvation has come to this house, because Zacchaeus is also a son of Abraham." And then Jesus delivered the punchline. He said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." When we hear that, who comes to mind? Is it the person who has ruined his life with alcohol or drugs? Is it the criminal sitting in a nearby jail? Is it the business owner who takes advantage of the poor? Is it a politician whose focus is on self-enrichment rather than service? Are those the people whom Jesus came to save? Yes. Yes, those people need saving. And Jesus came to save people like that. But what about us sitting in the church? Is there any chance that Jesus was talking about you and me when he said that he had come to seek and to save that which is lost? Do we ever think of ourselves as Zacchaeus kinds of people? Do we ever think of ourselves as sinners, undeserving of God's favour? Do we ever worry about finding ourselves in trouble on Judgment Day? I'm sure that many of us have felt that way. Inadequate, unlovable, undeserving. Many of us prepare not to think too much about Judgment Day because we doubt that we will measure up. And if that's what we think, we're right. We don't measure up. We won't measure up. We're inadequate, undeserving. We're sinners. But that's just the first part of the story. Here's the rest of it. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Us, I believe he was talking about all of us. Jesus came to seek us and to save us. And he has done just that. He started seeking us before the creation of the world. He started seeking us before we were born. He started working out a plan to save us when the earth was still a formless void, when darkness covered the face of the deep. He has been seeking us forever. His purpose was never to condemn, but to save. That's the point of the Zacchaeus story. If Jesus could save Zacchaeus, he can save us. If he has saved Zacchaeus, he has also saved us. But there's more. When Jesus calls Zacchaeus to come down from the tree, Zacchaeus scrambled down the tree as fast as little arms and legs would carry him. Second, he repented of his old behaviour and promised to do better. I doubt that Zacchaeus became a pristine man who never did another bad thing. I doubt that we always not do the right thing. I know I don't. So I'm grateful to St. Paul, the apostle, who recounted his own struggles with sin. He said, "I don't know what I'm doing, for I don't practice what I desire to do, but what I hate, that I do. For the good which I desire, I don't do, but the evil which I don't desire, that I do." And those words give us hope. If the Apostle Paul couldn't get his act together, perhaps there's hope for me. Perhaps there's hope for all of us. So the message for today is that there is no perhaps about it. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Furthermore, he has done that. He has saved us. So let's do what Zacchaeus did. Let's climb down from the tree where we're hoping to observe Jesus from a distance. Let's receive him joyfully. And let's do our best to live up to our high calling in Christ's service. Amen. And now we have the appropriate hymn. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. 519. come up and pray with us. Do sit down.
Lord, our prayers connect us with your love. Comfort us and remind us that we are part of a greater presence. Thank you, Lord, for your nearness to us. Lord, in your mercy, your goodness, Lord, shines on us and illuminates our lives. And yet it is clear that your anger and wrath can know no bounds. Let us always be aware that extreme evil will bring down the most severe punishments. Lord, in your mercy, we live in a time when evil abounds. Let those who feel immune to punishment for their actions remember that you, Lord, are the ultimate judge, and that your judgments will be followed by the ultimate retribution that only you can deliver. Let them listen to your advice, Lord, and stop doing wrong. Lord, in your mercy. And yet, Lord, there is so much goodness in this world undertaken in your name. We see it each and every day. Small kindnesses, big sacrifices, lives dedicated to the needs of others. Lord, let goodness prevail. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, help those connected with our church and those known to us who are suffering at this time from illness, bereavement, and financial difficulties. Let us take a moment to reflect on their troubles and their needs. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, let us say together the prayer you gave to us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us stand and declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And our offertory hymn is Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 77.
Thank you.
Now we know what we must do. As we stand, let's face each other across the aisle. Say to each other, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Remember, Lord, what you have wrought in us and not what we deserve. And as you have called us to your service, make us worthy of your calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.